As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to No Butts, the weekly show for the casual baseball fan here on The Athletic. I'm Tass Mellis. With me in studio is super producer JD.
Hello.
Hey, JD. And with us from Taiwan, where he lives, my co-host all season long, it's Joel McMillan. Joelie, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning, I guess I should say.
Right. 12-hour difference.
That's right.
We were discussing before we went on when you were feeding your cats, because they are loud animals. So first question for you, Joel, the most important one. Have you fed your cats yet?
Cats are fed, Tass. They're ready to go. We switched the time to 8 o'clock. We got one of those like automatic dispensers that we can control by the phone. So you can just links to Bluetooth and you can change the time. So they ate at 8 o'clock. Don't worry, they're fed.
Yes. And as you can tell, we are going live here Wednesday mornings, Eastern Standard Time, in the evening for Joel. Every Wednesday on YouTube, the Athletic Baseball Show feed on YouTube. Find it there. We are excited to join the Athletic Baseball Show feed. Get your podcast wherever you get your pods. We'll be here every week. What can you expect from No Bunts this season, Joelie? I think, of course, we're going to cover the storylines, but we want to be a little different and get into the stuff around the game. For instance, I'm sure we're going to do a show on superstitions or pop culture or the in-game experience, which we're going to get into today because you went to a game in Taiwan for the World Baseball Classic. So we're excited about doing this show from March to November on the Athletic Baseball Show feed. Again, get it wherever you get your pods or on YouTube. We got MLB coming up in a few weeks, Joel. So we have some time here to discuss the World Baseball Classic. And you went to a game, Pool A, in Taiwan. A lot on the line and a unique baseball experience that I want to get to because the game is different in Taiwan and in Asia than over here in North America. We won't analyze the games so much that have happened throughout the tournament. We'll do that next week when the tournament is over, and I'm sure we're going to get into, you know, the best equipment, the best uniforms, the best names, because I know you want to get into that. I saw you list that in our shared Google Doc, so I'm excited to get into that stuff. But just to give you everyone out there a quick recap of what's happened, Pool A and Pool B are done, essentially. Those took place in Taiwan and Japan, respectively. And they finished a little earlier than Pool C and Pool D, which are going on here stateside, just to give the teams a couple days to come over, because the semifinals will happen in Miami. Two of Australia, Cuba, Italy, and Japan, they're battling it out right now, and those two will join the semifinals, which will take place in Miami March 19th. To the 21st when the finals happen. So again, we'll recap whether it's the U.S. or the Dominican or Venezuela joining two of those prior teams I mentioned. We shall see. But Pool A, Taiwan, you went to Taichung Intercontinental. I was going to say international. Taichung Intercontinental Baseball Stadium in Taichung, Taiwan. This is a big deal for Taiwan. You went to the final game of the round robin of Pool A, Cuba versus Taiwan, the winner advancing. So let's just start at the beginning of the experience, Joel.
Sure.
What was the feeling like walking up into that stadium? And if you're with us on YouTube, you can see the clip here of Joel and Maggie walking up to the stadium to take in Taiwan versus Cuba.
Yeah, so here we are. It was a great atmosphere outside the stadium. Like you can see, it's very busy, a very festive atmosphere. They had a lot of games and concession stands outside. It was very cool. Yeah, walking up and kind of seeing the big banner with, you know, all of the different international players. It really kind of hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm at, you know, the World Baseball Classic. For me, this was a bucket list thing that I wanted to do. And so I really kind of was super excited to, you know, kind of, yeah, make that walk up and, you know, go into the stadium to check out this game. It was a very cool feeling.
I always like when you go to a stadium, if you have to walk upstairs, because you don't you don't see the stadium at first, and then it just appears. It sort of,
yeah, it just shows up. Yeah,
it's sort of movie-like. And this stadium, although it looks really big on the outside, do you know the capacity? Because I know from watching it, it's not a typical North American baseball stadium in terms of its size. It's, sorry, I put you on the spot there when I'm asking you the capacity, but it's definitely smaller, right? That's
yeah,
the way it felt watching on TV.
Yeah, I believe it's 20,000 or less. Like, it's not an MLB size stadium. For Taiwan, I feel it's an adequate size stadium based on the, you know, population we have and, you know, and whatnot. But it's a nice stadium. It's very nice. When you go into the upper deck, you have a view of the mountains, which is very nice. So the stadium, yeah, it's very nice. I don't know how old it is, but I was very impressed with, yeah, with the facilities and everything they had. It was a nice stadium.
Is it fair to call both the game that you went to and the games overall in Taiwan, just generally in Taiwan, more of a party atmosphere? Because watch on TV, it's just so different than the North American experience. It's loud. It's fun. People are always chanting. And I think of it as a party watching over here. Is it fair to call it that?
I think that's a good question, Tass. It's kind of a mix of both. I mean, they want to have fun. Absolutely. And it's very festive and there's a lot of energy and people are into it. But I mean, they want to win. Obviously, those fans, you know, want to see their team do well. It was a very unique situation, the game that we went to, because Taiwan was kind of out of it very early. They gave up 4 runs in the first inning, but those fans did not let up. The game was a bit of a blowout. It turned out to be 7-1, but the fans were just absolutely into that game. It was loud from the first pitch to the final out. It was really a very unique live sports experience, because I feel like if this happened back home, a lot of people would have left, you know, maybe by the 5th or 6th inning, and, you know, the air would have been out of the building completely after kind of a blowout game like that. So it was very cool to see.
Yeah, and another thing that was unique, the Taiwanese team before first pitch came out and did a huddle and a ritual type thing, basically, you know, some sort of pregame cheer. Is that common? Is there a significance to that pregame ritual?
That I don't know about. I saw that question when we were, you know, going over things. I don't know. I know at the end of the game, the Taiwanese players usually go around the mound and they bow. It's just kind of a sign of respect. And I think it's a sportsmanship thing and a respect thing. In terms of surrounding the WBC logo and doing that, I don't really know the significance of that. I don't know if that's something just the national team does or if that's what professional teams here do. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, let's get to some gameplay. So you are, just to paint the picture, about 7 or 8 rows back of the dugout, I'd say. And
yeah,
the cheerleaders are on the dugout throughout the game. Live pitches, no matter what the situation is. And from my perspective at home, it feels like they're always cheering, always on the dugout, always leading chants during live play. So there's a pitch happening. The cheerleaders are, if you're watching on YouTube, they're making things happen. Is that distracting to you, Joel?
I've been in this atmosphere before. I've seen games in Japan and Korea. So for me, I wouldn't say it was as distracting. I kind of knew that it was going to happen. It's been a while, It definitely was a distraction kind of in the beginning, like getting used to it again. Because, yeah, we were fairly close and the cheerleaders were fairly close to us. So it took a bit of time getting used to. But I feel like once I kind of settled in and focused on what was happening in the game, you don't really notice it as much.
Right.
So for me, it wasn't a big deal, but I would say for the first kind of like inning or two, it was definitely, you know, something different. But the cheerleaders only get up and do this when Taiwan is hitting. When the opponents are hitting, there's no cheerleading, but there are some like in-game, like just quick chants, and they'll shout something out really quick. But that's only when Taiwan is pitching and in the field.
Just for the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, I did at first watching it. I was sort of distracted. I saw there was a clip you sent along where a lot of the fans got up when a ball was hit and they had to look to see where it was. They were just interested to see where it was, but you kind of have to look a little around the cheerleaders. I would say probably a net positive, though, with the cheerleaders because they get everyone into it. That's obviously true. That's clear. Like, it is everybody getting up and getting into it because of them. But the choreography, I think, goes beyond the cheerleaders, right? Because there's also a person leading coordinated cheers and chants. So there's a man there. I think his name is Travis because it says Travis on the back of his jersey. Okay, clear. Okay, that's what Travis means. What was Travis doing?
So they alternate cheerleaders throughout the game. So the cheerleaders, like these girls here, I think like every two innings, they rotated new cheerleaders along with a kind of ringleader, like a Travis-like character. There was Travis and Rena, and I forget some of the other ones. They had their name was on the back. But they're basically, they're the ones that will come out and explain the chant to you. And they kind of, they're like the MC of the cheerleaders, if that makes sense. Everyone kind of follows their lead and they'll just get everyone going. Like they've got a microphone or a headset and they'll chant. They'll, you know, do what they have to do to get the crowd riled up because each player has their own unique and special cheer, which is crazy. And they know that. And so they're kind of like the conductor of all the cheering out there. It's pretty cool to see.
I love the fact that so each player comes up and the crowd gets all together in a particular chant. Like what is that curtailed to the particular player or is it just sort of different for each guy?
Each one's different.
Yeah.
Each one. I mean, I don't know what they're saying because my Chinese is terrible. I don't speak a lot of Chinese, unfortunately, but I mean, each one is different because you can kind of hear what they're saying, the music, you know, all the things involved. And then having a live band, I think we're going to talk about that in a minute, but they have a live in-stadium band that plays, you know, like horns and trumpets and all those other instruments to get the fans going. Just really quickly, I posted a video of this. One of the players had the Mega Man theme as his song,
oh,
as his
that's
cheering
right
song,
up your alley.
Which I thought, I know, I was loving. I'm like, that's the Mega Man song. Yeah, so it's just so cool that they have all of that. I know players in MLB have their own walk-up songs, and usually like it's a rock song or a rap song or country, whatever the player likes. But this is totally different. I mean, they have a live in-house band basically playing them to the plate and then like while they're hitting. It's very, very unique and different.
Yeah, the benefit is you get everybody involved, and you know, whether or not it's, hey, Yu Chang, you were 3 for 3 last night. Like if it's extremely specific or not, it doesn't matter. It just gets everybody involved. It reminds me of, you know, English soccer. Like there's chants throughout the game, and everybody knows them. But yeah, to take the North American, this is your walk up song. Here's your Nickelback, but you take it up a notch by throwing in a particular chant, a specialized chant. Is that band that you mentioned, do they play the songs for the players to walk up to?
Yeah, they play the whole game. They play the entire game, and they'll play, like I said, when Taiwan. Yeah, there's the band there. When Taiwan's on defense, like I said, those male kind of MC cheerleaders. I don't know what to really call them, but they'll kind of shout something out randomly, and you'll just hear the band just for quick 2 or 3 seconds. They'll play something, and then cut it off. Yeah, so it is really unique, and when the Taiwanese players, like I said, when they're hitting, they've got this band playing their song, and the fans are chanting their or singing their song, or you know, chanting whatever it is, and it's just if I were a hitter, I would find that very distracting, I feel, but that's just how it is here. I guess they're used to it.
Yeah, but I bet you get used to it too. You're a great hitter, I'm sure. But no, I'm sure it would just sort of get, become commonplace, right? I think with all the cheerleaders out there, both male and female, we call them cheerleaders now. Here in North America, everybody's equal on the cheerleading field, I think. Everybody throws up their pom-poms. I mentioned quickly Yu Chang, who plays for the Red Sox. Definitely a tough game for him. As you said, they lost 7-1. Heartfelt moment at the end of the game with Yu Chang was, he's in tears essentially.
Yeah.
But tough loss, I suppose. Were they expected to move on? Obviously, they didn't move on. At home in Taiwan, were they expected to?
They had a chance. That pool was total chaos in the end. All teams finished 2-2. I'm not surprised by what happened. Like, Tess, put it this way. If Taiwan had have gone through, I wouldn't have been surprised. They didn't go through. I'm also not surprised. They played well offensively, but their pitching was just way too thin. They should have beat Panama. I think that's the game that they'll look back on and they'll like, oof, they dropped the opening game 12-5 to Panama, but then played really well and beat Italy and the Netherlands. And that was kind of unexpected. And then Cuba, I legitimately thought was 50-50 the way things were going. So to answer your question, it's hard to give an answer because I kind of think like they're right on the cusp. I mean, them making it, them not making it, I don't think it's a surprise either way. Taiwan's gone through to the second round before in a previous WBC. I'm not really surprised one way or another by Taiwan not going through or potentially going through. Yeah.
And that's a fun part of the WBC. You don't really know who's going to advance because there are a lot of good teams. And before we move on to more of the generic topics I want to get to about the World Baseball Classic, you saw one game outside the stadium that I wanted to point out because I don't think I've ever seen it in North America. It's to try and explain it. It's like an 8-foot-tall structure that has these sort of things hanging from it that look like miniature pool noodles hanging sort of vertically, and they drop one by one, and the person playing the game has to grab each one. So it's sort of like a hand-eye coordination thing. This must have been intense to watch.
It was. I've never seen a game like this before.
Oh, okay.
There was a huge lineup to play it too. This was one of the games outside the stadium, and there was a huge lineup to play it. People were eager. I mean, it was just. I mean, people were just frozen. Some like they didn't even react to when it fell. It looked like a very hard game. That guy that we just posted there on video, he actually probably did the best out of any of the people that I saw. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Did you or Maggie get in there?
No, Tass. I mean, come on. You've known me 20 years. How many athletic things have you seen me do? Like, have you even seen me run in 20 years? No, not playing this game. Come on.
I wouldn't categorize it as athletic, though.
You got to be nimble. You got to be nimble, Tass. That dexterity.
It's hand-eye coordination, and that's I kind of like the fact that you called it athletic because if there's any athleticism I have left, it's a little bit of hand-eye coordination. So it made me smile when you called it athletic. But you're standing there, you're flat-footed, you're not moving. You just got to be somewhat nimble. I mean, it's kind of like banging the alligator at like an arcade. You know, like when the alligators...
When you hit them with the mallet.
Whack-a-mole, yeah.
That's it.
That type of thing. So, I'm like, come on, get on there. Especially because you were with Maggie and she was filming. We could have had great content here, Joel. Think about the additional content here for No Bunts on the Athletic MLB show. Premiere episode.
I know. There was a huge line. There was just a huge line to play that game. If I had been in line, I probably would have missed the first inning or two of the game. There was a massive line to play that, yeah.
All right. Well, you got there pretty early, I thought. You fed the cats.
Yeah,
early.
We got there. Yeah, I got there at about 10:30. Yeah, game was at 12. 12 o'clock baseball game. It was different.
Too early?
Yeah, for me, yeah. It's like 12 o'clock. It's a bit early, yeah.
All right, Jolie. We'll take a quick break, but after it, the top five things the MLB should adopt from the WBC. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back with No Bunts, Joel joining me from Taiwan. We will get to the new MLB rules and how they're working a little later on in the show. I'm excited. I'm excited for quicker games, Joel. It is working. But first, I want to get to the top five things Major League Baseball could adopt from the World Baseball Classic.
Top five, top five, top five. Top five, top five.
Yeah, some unique things going on in the World Baseball Classic. At number five, a very unique one. This one's going to be controversial. The mercy rule. There's a mercy rule in the WBC, specifically a 15-run lead after 5 innings or a 10-run lead after 7 innings. The game is called. Now, adopting it in the MLB, it's going to mess up some stats. It just will never happen. But I just wanted to talk about it because it's happened a few times here in pool play. Korea hammered China. Hammered China 22-2. Israel got mercied a couple times. So, Joel, do you like the mercy rule? I guess you can take it from both angles for the WBC and for Major League Baseball.
That's a simple one for me, Tess. WBC, I would say it's necessary. MLB, no way. I can't see them implementing a mercy rule. I think that, like, to me, I'm very on board with a lot of the rule changes they've made going into the season. I know we're going to talk about that later, but in terms of a mercy rule, that's a bridge too far for me. I've got an open mind on most stuff, but not an MLB. No way.
Well, let me try and open your mind a little bit.
Okay.
You just said a lot of people walk out of the stadium because they're done with it. I would say, despite having huge comebacks in the playoffs last year, in the 2022 MLB playoffs, I think there was a couple 9 runners as Blue Jays fans.
Oh, Tass.
Yeah, sorry about that. We know. But I'm going to extend it to a 10-run lead here or a 15-run lead. No one's coming back from that. It just doesn't happen.
I mean, it's rare. It's rare. And it hasn't happened very often, but the fact that it can happen is just like, to me right there, that's a case to not have a mercy rule at all. Just keep it in. I don't think that needs to change. And also, Tass, like, one of the cool, like, baseball's got a lot of quirks to it, and I feel one of the cool things is seeing position players pitch.
Yeah.
And if you get rid of the mercy rule, I know it's like something silly and it's not really important to the game, but at least if your team's getting beaten like 20-0, like, you know, seeing a right fielder come in and pitch and, you know, just lob one at like, you know, 30 or 40 miles an hour and a guy just swing right through it, like the fans get into that, it's still fun. I think that's a unique thing about baseball. And if you implemented a mercy rule in MLB, you would get rid of that. I don't think it's worth saving. I just don't think it kind of fits. It doesn't really make sense to have in the MLB, but tying it back to the WBC, because it's at the beginning of the season, guys aren't fully ramped up. There's injury concerns. There's a lot of factors going into it as to why they have those limitations, especially with pitchers and the mercy rule. So WBC, I'm fully for, but MLB, Tass, that's not good for me. Not happening.
Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. This is the perfect umbrella to put it in. This top five list, because I totally, totally agree. I just needed something to just, you know, group these all together here. This top five list. I'm totally, totally on board with never having a mercy rule. And the fact that the games are going to get quicker this year in Major League Baseball because of the pitch clock and the new rules, that's another argument against having a mercy rule. The games are fast enough. You mentioned pitchers that are position players, also extremely fun. Also, broadcasters now with this new story time, or this new sped up game, they don't have the opportunity to tell their stories. So baseball is all about story time. I think from a broadcaster perspective, there's a great article on The Athletic actually about broadcasters having to adapt to a new situation, new circumstances where games are getting sped up, and story time just ain't there. But if you got a 22-2 game, like Korea beat China, then you can have some story time. Although I will say in the WBC, because there's 24 teams and there's teams of obviously varying strengths, I thought there'd be more mercy rule games, but I think there's only been three. I mentioned Israel twice and China once there, but I think that's it. Either way.
Well, Tess, when we were talking on the phone last night, Canada got mercied.
Oh.
Canada mercied. So, Tess, Canada mercied Great Britain, and then the next day got mercied by USA, which I thought was kind of cool, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, I missed the Canadian ones because I just didn't count those. They hammered Great Britain, and then, yeah.
And then got hammered, yeah.
Yeah, got smashed. Okay, number four here, things that MLB can adopt, better sportsmanship. I know this was vague, but I think we can have a little more respect for each other. We saw Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaki give Czech Republic's William Escala two giant bags of candy. That's sportsmanship. Why? Because he hit him with a pitch. So he gave him a couple bags of candy just because he is so sportsmanlike. There was no bench clearing brawl. There was just candy. And I loved this moment. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, in the NBA, like, they exchange jerseys, don't they? Is that something to do? Do they exchange jerseys?
Yeah, it's pretty commonplace, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't see why you couldn't do that. Or something similar to that in baseball. It's a very international sport at this point, and I think it would be a nice touch. You know, come to think about it, even, you know, like at the with American football, I call it American football because it's got a different meaning over here. But, you know, like with basketball and American football, and even at the end of a playoff hockey series, you see guys shaking hands and giving each other hugs and, you know, being a bit more relaxed. But I feel like you don't really see that in baseball. Like, even when a playoff series is over, guys kind of celebrate. And if they do talk, I don't really see them talking too much to each other on the field. So yeah, Tess, I'm very much on board with, you know, greater open signs of sportsmanship. I think it sends a great message to fans of all ages. And I just think it's feel good moment. It's cool to see these guys are fiercely competitive, but I think at the end of the day, you know, they're good people and they want to send a good message to the fans. So more sportsmanship, you know, more displays of that, I think is great, you know, for everyone involved. There's no real negatives to it.
I may be assuming this, but in league play in Korea, Taiwan, and Japan, are there bench-clearing brawls? I would imagine there's fewer. Maybe that's just an assumption of mine. I feel like that's just not as commonplace as we see here in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, from what I understand, it's very, very rare for a physical altercation to break out, not only in baseball, but in any other sport. Yeah, that's just not kind of how they play the game here.
It's respect, Joel. That's what it's all,
respect.
That's what it's all about. And you know how we'd see better sportsmanship in MLB is if we had number three here on the list of things that the MLB could adopt from WBC. If we had a clear representation of the country a player is from, I'm enjoying seeing that in the World Baseball Classic. For instance, we got Freddie Freeman playing for the Canadian national team. Although he is American, born and raised in the U.S., his mom was Canadian. She died when he was young. He wanted to honor her, so he plays for the Canadian national team. I think we could have some representation of that on a jersey even. I know we get a little of that. We do get some of that throughout the MLB season, but why not a little Canadian flag? Maybe it's just because we're Canadian here. I'm enjoying seeing Freddie Freeman, but from all countries, every single player is extremely proud of where they're from. So, yeah, I see in the NBA, they sew a little Larry O'Brien on the back of jerseys if that franchise has won a title. The same sort of thing, like that, just that tiny little spot. Or does that even happen? Am I missing it in Major League Baseball? Where do they show their national pride? It's not on a jersey.
No, not like in terms of the professional uniforms. There's nothing like that. I think that would be a nice touch. I know once, I think it's called like the Players Weekend Task. I'm not sure the exact name, but the players can customize the names on the back of their jersey. And I think the MLB's kind of a bit looser with the rules that weekend in terms of uniform. Maybe they might be able to stick, you know, the flag of their country or the flag of the country that they want to honor, you know, or show respect for during that weekend. I think that would be a nice touch. I mean, they can wear it all year round. I have nothing against it, but in terms of that existing in the game right now, I don't think anything like that is happening.
Yeah, obviously I'm reaching and saying that there would be better sportsmanship if they just had a flag on their jersey. Of course, that's not going to happen, but you never know. You never know. In international competition, everybody's just 10% more respectful, and they just appreciate, you know, everybody's background a little bit more. So I would see nothing wrong with that. Speaking of players like Freddie Freeman, for instance, even though he's American playing for the Canadian national team, I mean, you've got some Canadian and American ties, right? Which team are you playing for? Or if you're the equipment manager for one team, like let's not, you said you're not athletic, so maybe you're not playing, you're not in the game, but which one are you representing? If you had to pick, I was just curious.
Task, can I go wild card and can I say I'd represent Taiwan?
No, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's home. I mean, I've lived here 10 years. I mean, of course I love Canada, you know, and my mom's American. I've got citizenships of both. But, you know, for the sake of this question, yeah, I'm going to throw on the colors of Taiwan and represent home.
What a wild card. I was not expecting that. Great answer, Joel.
I want, you know, Tass, I want horns and I want 20,000 people chanting my name in a stadium. I mean, that would be a moment for me. So I don't think I would really get that if I played for Team Canada or Team USA. So I want that. I'm going to choose Team Taiwan as a wild card.
All right. Great answer. Really great answer. One other thing I wanted to note. You'd be a star in Taiwan. Shohei Ohtani is a star everywhere. Can you explain the video of people taking a photograph of a ball that has nothing to do with Shohei Ohtani in terms of the actual ball, but was that a ball that he hit out of the park and people were sort of passing it down the line in the stadium to take photos of? Was it simple as that?
Yeah, he hit a home run. I think it was the Australia game, and he hit a home run. And yeah, fans were just passing it around, and taking photos. I mean, that's a testament really to how popular he is in Japan. When I was, you know, when I was kind of getting ready to do this show, I was watching a couple of videos, and Japan played two warm-up games against a professional team in Japan. I forget which one. And that game drew 30 million people on TV, like on like watching in Japan, just to watch an exhibition game. So I'm going to say that again, 30 million people tuned in to watch. And I think a big reason, obviously, is Ohtani, because, you know, and I think we talked about this back in the fall when I was in Atlanta. I mean, he's just a superstar. I don't know how else to put it, but every single thing he does is people just want to talk about it. People want to film it. He just has that aura about him, especially in Japan, but also, you know, among North American. And I would say like all baseball fans really at this point.
All right. Great stuff. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Number two on the list of the top five things MLB could adopt from the WBC, the short plexiglass wall to protect fans surrounding the infield. So to paint the picture, behind the backstop, there's the mesh that we all know, and that sort of extends to the dugout. But on the Taiwanese field, there's plexiglass extending from the dugout sort of beyond, almost to the foul pole. You can tell me. I guess it doesn't go that far, but it's sort of like hockey boards and the glass that goes above them just to protect the fans just a little bit more. Do you like that plexiglass? Because I know we're getting into the sort of the nitty gritty here, but that's what I love to get into, Joel. Are you a fan of it?
To be honest, I'm indifferent on it. It doesn't add or take anything away from the fan experience in terms of watching the game. And if it's there to keep fans safe, I'm not going to argue against it. I know some people might not like it, especially when they came in with the mesh nets a couple of years ago, and you know they've kind of built on that. But the plexiglass, it's obviously a different material. It plays differently. I don't know how players necessarily feel about it, but as a fan, like I personally have nothing against it. And Tess, I don't know if you remember, speaking of plexiglass, do you remember the Minnesota Twins when they played at the Metrodome? They had plexiglass in the outfield.
Right. I do remember that? That. Yeah, I do remember
that.
I remember.
That I don't like. That I thought was very bizarre and strange, because if you wanted to hit a home run, you had to hit it over the plexiglass, which I kind of feels very strange. That's the only thing I can remember off the top of my head in terms of MLB stadiums having it. But in terms of like from where we were sitting and, you know, the stadium experience, it didn't really affect me one way or the other. And if it keeps fans safe, I think that should be paramount in stadium design. So, you know, I'm not going to argue against it.
Yeah, you're indifferent. That's what I was worried about. Indifference, never good on a podcast. Hey, that's my fault. I definitely get into the detail. It just looks a little different. Maybe protecting fans from a liner, but you took me back. The 91 World Series when Jack Morris pitched that 10-inning game.
Oh, classic.
Why there was a moment where the outfielder went up and against the plexiglass. I think maybe because did Kirby Puckett hit a solo home run that game? Or am I misremembering? Maybe I'm thinking of Kirby Puckett running into the plexiglass. But it is strange to see that material on the fence. But I'm sure we'll get into that type of thing here on No Bunts. I want to talk about the unique fences. They changed it in our Sky Dome. Excuse me. They changed the fencing, how tall it is this upcoming season. So I can't wait to talk about that with you, Joel. You said that it plays a little different in this particular instance in Taiwan in the World Baseball Classic. You would never play it off that component of the fence because it's in foul territory, right? Like it would just...
Yeah, once it hits the mesh and I'm assuming once it hits the plexiglass, it's out of play. You can't play it on a bounce and be like, oh, I caught it. It's once it hits the mesh or the plexiglass, that technically it's out of play. It's just there, to keep fans protected.
Okay, the number one thing to wrap this list up that the WBC has taught MLB is that we need individualized chants. Those chants, and I said it's in European football as well, they have to happen. We can do this. We can do this as fans, to have 10,000 people chanting the same thing for whoever, every single player in MLB. Mm-hmm. Xander Bogaerts should have a chant. And it shouldn't just be the walk-up song. I think we can do this. I think that's something North American sports are kind of lagging behind. We can do this, Joel.
I couldn't agree more. That would be awesome. And fans would get into it too. And you could be creative and you could go on social media. And, you know, I don't know how you'd put it together. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunities there to, you know, come up with really fun and creative chants, you know, based on their interests or, you know, something like a funny anecdote about their life, whatever. Yeah, lots of opportunities there. It's just that constant level of noise and loud and intimidating. It's just, you, like Tess, like you said, you don't have that atmosphere, I feel, in North American stadiums. And not only in baseball, but I would say like in the other major sports, it's more reactive. A player makes a play and fans react. And there's nothing wrong with that. Whereas I would say, like, in terms of baseball in East Asia, you're just constantly cheering. And of course, you're going to react to good or bad plays. But, you know, you're only reacting when you're watching a game stateside.
Guys, I tried to implement this back in the early 90s. When I used to go to baseball games with one player in particular, and I can't remember who he played for, but Kenny Rogers, me and my buddy, Jim Evangelos, shout out to Jim, we would sing The Gambler every time we would see Kenny Rogers, and we would try to get everybody in our section to sing The Gambler because it's, you know, Kenny Rogers. No takers. That's the idea, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's make this happen, guys. This year, the 2023 is the year of the personalized chant.
JD is in.
Kenny Rogers. Forgot about Kenny Rogers.
The Gambler.
Must have been his nickname.
You would think.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. He was an interesting guy, too. He had a bit of a temper on him. He was he was a pretty intense dude, if I remember. But I think he pitched either a no-hitter or a perfect game at one point, too. He kind of had an interesting career.
The lefty hurler. Excuse me. Four-time All-Star, World Series champ. Yeah, thanks for taking me back, JD.
And great poker player.
An amazing poker player.
An amazing poker player.
All right, we got to take one more break here on No Bunts, but after it, the MLB rules that they've implemented this spring are working, baby. We'll get into it.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
All right, we are back with No Bunts. Joel, I didn't even plan it that there was that Jonathan Taylor Thomas joke in that Indochino ad. If you heard an Indochino ad, a home improvement Jonathan Taylor Thomas joke, that, again, right up your alley. We're getting a little older, Joel. But I did not.
We are.
I did not plan that whatsoever. And there we are. Did you watch Home Improvement?
Oh, yeah. Of course. I feel like Home Improvement is a classic rerun show.
Tell me more.
Like, it's just always, I feel like there was that period, like, when it was on and shortly, like, we're in syndication, it was just always on. It was always on a channel, like, whether it was 9:30 a.m. or 2:30 in the afternoon, you could always watch Home Improvement.
Yeah, it was on a lot.
Yeah, it was just always on in syndication. It's like a perfect syndication show.
Yeah, more appreciated in syndication and reruns than it was, just like The Wire, you know, than it was actually when it was released.
You think?
Oh, Tass, that's bold. Know. Tass, that's bold. I think
it was a massive hit when it was. I think it was number one show when it was airing, like appointment viewing.
Home Improvement was appointment viewing.
I would think, yeah.
Timmy. Yeah, it was up there. It.
I mean, I don't know.
But... gotta look at the ratings. We gotta look at the Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, let me look it up. You guys continue.
All right. Speaking about ratings and numbers, Major League Baseball has cut down the average game time this spring by a lot because of the new MLB rules they're implemented. They are working. Just as a refresher, the big one, the pitch clock. The pitcher has to deliver the ball in 15 seconds with no one on base, and then it gets up to 20 seconds with runners on base. Otherwise, the umpire will add a ball to the count. Okay, so that's the big one. We'll get into a few more later. But Jason Stark at The Athletic, he broke this all down for us. Through 2 weeks of spring training, the average game time this spring is a mere 2 hours and 36 minutes. Last year, in spring, games were 3 hours and 1 minute, so a cutdown of 25 minutes. Last year in the regular season, games were a little bit longer than they were in spring training, 3 hours and 6 minutes. So you can project that a game would be, on average, 2 hours and 40 minutes. And it's only going to get shorter because it's not a violation fest at all. You'd expect these new rules, you'd have a lot of violations. But the pitch clock violations per game are going down as the weeks go on in spring training. It was about 2 in the first week, 1.5 in the second week, and that's similar to the pattern in the minor leagues when this was tested last year, where the violation rate dropped every week from 1.73 down to 1.29, down all the way to 0.73 in 4 weeks. But one other thing that's a little interesting, Joel. Mm-hmm. Mound visits are up, as Jason Stark points out, because it's a way around getting a pitch clock violation. Because if time is ticking down, a catcher will just say, hey, time, I want to go visit the pitcher. Although that's not really extending the game a lot. You have 5 mound visits per game. You don't necessarily want to use them in the first or second or third inning. It's kind of like, you know, timeouts in other sports. You don't want to utilize them all right at the beginning. So that's just interesting stuff. I just wanted to point out. And the other rule changes, which are being implemented, are also working. If you remember, we went through this last year, but batters also have to be in the box and ready with 8 seconds left on the pitch clock. The bases are bigger. They're 18-inch by 18-inch rather than 15 by 15, and the limit on pickoff attempts have quickened the game and also have encouraged stealing so far in spring training. Joel, this is exciting stuff. So the bases being bigger, you know, just getting a wee bit closer, and a limit on pickoff attempts have increased steal attempts by 50% to 2.4 per game. Any thoughts just on the spring training, a little experiment we've had so far?
I love all of it. The argument against the pitch clock, I feel, is antiquated. You know, when fans say, but I like the mental element where, you know, a batter steps out and adjusts his gloves and makes the pitcher's wait, or the pitcher, you know, makes the batter try to mess up his timing, things like that. These, like, the pitch clock is basically getting rid of all of the dead time, which there is a lot of in baseball. I heard the same numbers you did, Tass. I absolutely love it. It's still 27 outs. It's still, you know, you still got to, you know, still 3 strikes, 4 balls, all that thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing about, like, the rules have changed. This just simply speeds it up and gets rid of all of the dead time. You're going to see more athleticism on display. It's going to be interesting to see, is it going to be advantageous to hitters? Is it going to be advantageous to pitchers? Are pitchers going to take advantage of this? I watched a video earlier about how Max Scherzer kind of used it to his advantage, where he basically just held on to the ball long as possible. And then the batter didn't really know what to do. Like, Scherzer just standing there. And then he basically forced the batter to call time. And a batter only has one of those per at bat. And then as soon as he got in, Scherzer basically didn't waste any time, and he threw a strike and he struck him out. So, you know, pitchers can exploit it, I guess. Maybe hitters can exploit it as well, but it's speeding up the game. The game's still exciting. I don't think it's going to affect scoring or like how the games are really going to be played. There's no data yet. It's really hard to gauge how good or bad this is going to be, but based on the early returns in spring training, and it's a small sample size and it's spring training, but you know, it's very positive. And with the bases, another thing too, the bigger bases are also intended to reduce injury. Sometimes guys, especially at first base, when they're kind of leaning, you know, and stretching to make a big play, sometimes it's bang, bang, and first baseman will get their leg or their ankle, sorry, not their leg, but their foot or their ankle will get spiked and stepped on, and guys can get hurt. So it also potentially reduces injury. So I love all of the rule changes. I'm excited to see how this is going to affect pace of play, and it's going to make it a much quicker game. But I like the early returns, and I think it's going to make for a much better product overall.
Yeah, not even to mention the elimination of the shift, which is awesome. That just moving guys back on the right side of bases, as we've seen in the past. Yeah, guys are getting used to it. There's been some additional box. You mentioned Max Scherzer with the quick pitch. I think he was called for one quick pitch that was a balk because he didn't allow the batter to get ready, which was funny to see. So there's been some funny stuff. A game ended on a violation when a batter wasn't in the box. He got called for a strike, and the game was over, and there was no pitch. But that's what spring training is all about, just trying to work out these kinks. Again, the violations are going down. Also, the duration of games is going down, and that's what matters, Joel. Let's wrap it up here. We're gonna go quicker this year as well on No Bunts. We're going to shorten up our pods. What do you think about that? Or you want to go back to the old way of 4-hour pods? Not that we ever had 4-hour pods.
You want to do a podcast clock? So I've only got 15 seconds. I've got to be making eye contact with you by 8 seconds before I answer.
Great idea.
Yeah, I'm happy to do either or. I can adjust, Tess. I can adjust.
You are. You're adaptable, Joel. You absolutely are.
I am. Thank you very much for noticing.
All right.
We will quick circle back. Home Improvement peaked in its third season, 1993, 35 million viewers. That's the number...
Gazooks.
The number two show in America just after 60 Minutes. And put that in perspective, last year, the number one show was Sunday Night Football, 18 million views.
Okay, well, so, it's a different time.
Different time, yes, wow. a different time. But I'm talking the number one show. Number three in 1993 was Seinfeld. So it was very
that
popular.
Many million people. That's amazing. It is amazing.
30 million people for Home Improvement. Wow.
Yep.
I need some improvement on my 90s sitcom knowledge. Wow.
Call me after. I'll help you. I can help with that.
Its worst season was its last season, 17.7 million. So thus basically the same amount of viewers for Sunday Night Football.
That is phenomenal.
Crazy, right?
Home Improvement. Wow. Never would have thought.
Amazing. I apologize for relating it to The Wire. That just wasn't right. Anyway. Good stuff. Congrats to Tim Allen. Congrats to us. Our first show here in the books on the Athletic MLB Show feed. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your pods, or on YouTube, where we stream live on Wednesdays. We'll be back next week when the World Baseball Classic is all done. So we'll talk about the semis and the finals. And Joel, we could have Taiwan losing to a potential World Baseball Classic champion. I'm watching right now. Cuba is winning in the quarterfinals. So they'll be over here stateside if they do finish the job against Australia. Middle of the eighth. Cuba's up 4-3. So that would be a little notch in the belt to Taiwan whenever you lose to the champion, if that happens.
Tass, can I just jump in really quickly before we finish here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is my recommendation to you, or for any kind of casual baseball fan or real baseball fan, whatever. The Dominican Republic plays Puerto Rico Wednesday night, like obviously stateside. That is appointment viewing. That is going to be a very loud, emotional, boisterous game. Both of those countries, huge baseball countries, and because Venezuela already clinched, like they're already going through to the next round. They kind of had some big upsets. The winner of the Dominican and Puerto Rico, two early tournament favorites, they play Wednesday night tonight, and that game is going to be massive. So to me, that's appointment viewing. I'm going to wake up early and watch it before I've got to teach. But I can't wait. That atmosphere, and I believe it's in Miami, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. It is just going to be an unreal game, and I can't wait.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for their recommendation. Appreciate that. We'll be back next week to talk about, I'm sure, that game and the elimination round. That'll be all wrapped up once we jump on board next week on No Bunts. Last question, Joel. We've been on, you know, for about an hour or so. Are you going to feed your cats again?
Nope. The machine, they're not going to eat again until 7 a.m. GMT plus 8.
10 hours from now. That's rough. No. Yeah, 10 hours. Poor cats.
They're fine. They're fine.
They're intermittent fasting.
Yeah. All right. Great stuff. We will see you next week on No Bunts. Thanks, everybody.